20 different exegeses on the pricing of Imam. It is not that no one has ever explained Karbala. Many have explained it, and everyone has done it according to their own point of view. I would like to mention a list of explanations that are well known and which deserve to be called explanations. Though there are as many as 50 possible explanations regarding this uprising available from different sources, but we will take 20 most prominent ones. A single ayah of Quran has been explained in numerous ways. Similarly, Karbala can also be explained in various ways. After the list, we will seek an explanation as to what are the laws for the explanation of Karbala, how should we understand Karbala, how can we attain the essence of Karbala so that we can acquire the message of the uprising of Imam and then see its effects in our life. Just as prayer prohibits one from immodesty, Karbala also prohibits from immodesty. How it is possible that a person who understands Karbala and at the same time he is immodest? Impossible. Just as touching of Quranic ayah without ablution is prohibited, touching the ayah of Karbala without purity is also prohibited. For this purpose, the purity of soul, mind and character is required. Now everyone does whatever he likes in the name of Karbala, which is a dishonor and disgrace of Karbala. Karbala is an innocent act of an infallible, just as the Quran says about itself that only purified ones can touch it. Similarly, nearness with these characters can be achieved only with purity. The first explanation in this regard, as mentioned earlier, people ask that why did this incident of Karbala occur? What was the purpose? What was the truth and objectives of Karbala? When they peeped into history, they found that it was the result of the demand for oath of allegiance. Some philosophers are of the view that the basic reason of Karbala was the demand for the oath of allegiance. They are of the opinion that if Yazid would not have demanded for allegiance from Hussein bin Ali, this saga of Karbala would not have taken place. The second explanation was the invitation of the Kufis. If Kufis would not have invited Imam, then Imam would never have come. It was the Kufis who provoked Imam, or else he would have remained occupied in his life. Some said that oath of allegiance was not an important issue. Imam Hussein went from Medina to Makkah, so he should have remained in Makkah or returned after Hajj. Or when the situation should have settled, he could return like a pilgrim. But when Imam went from Makkah to Kufa, the root cause of this movement was the invitation of Kufis to Imam, and then they withdrew from their invitation. This invitation and its withdrawal was the reason for the start of the tragic incident. The third explanation, as mentioned before, which nowadays is a very common point of view, that this was the destiny, it was the divine fate, and Imam was helpless in front of Allah's will, and he had to do as ordered. Yazid was also not responsible for this act. This was the predestined fortune. As we have heard many times from our pulpits, that Imam said to his sister, "Sister, now it's your fate." And the sister said, "Brother, this is now your fate." These sentences are assumed in accordance to this explanation, or else they do not exist in history actually. This explanation was very common in those days, especially the Bani Umayyad used to state that it's not our fault. They should not be blamed, as it was the divine fate that carried out the whole incident. And this was specially quoted, and people were paid to preach this point of view that it was the destiny of Imam to be killed. Since then, this view was spread, and thus it still exists. It was spread through the poets, historians, scholars, and philosophers, who were heavily paid for this purpose so that no one could be held responsible. And now, after 1400 years, this view still persists. The fourth explanation is that Imam had the desire for martyrdom. That Imam did all this because he wanted to be a martyr, and poets have affirmed this. This view is a source of infidelity in the faith of Imam. Martyrdom is the purpose and goal of a believer. Neither it is the war booties or occupation of lands. Thus martyrdom was a basic purpose because with this one attains the ideally desirable divine status. Thus Imam acquired this way to attain proximity to Allah, to get rid of this world, and to get attentive towards Allah, he adopted this path. The fifth explanation is that Imam did not agree with the governance system of the time, so to acquire power, to get hold of the governance, he brought this political revolution, as it is clear from his speeches and sermons that he was not at all happy with the jurisdiction, so he took this step to overcome that rule. It was only for the acquisition of authority and in order to implement justice that he acquired this way. This view is popular in a comparative literate group of the people who consider themselves knowledgeable to understand the essence of Karbala. The sixth view is the reformation of the nation. This was the primary cause as people were involved in many unethical activities. Thus, in order to guide them, Imam adopted this path. This is a well-known belief among the present-day people having authentic knowledge. The reason being that in the current world, the reformation of the society is a very important element, and all deeds, good or even bad, are done in the name of reformation of the society. Thus, this is a well-accepted view nowadays. The seventh philosophy is that the incident of Karbala depends on one important aspect, and that is invitation towards values and prohibition from evils. The whole incident was centered on this objective. The eighth view is most favorable among all of us, and that is for the forgiveness of the nation. Imam Hussein saw that my ancestor, especially Prophet Muhammad, suffered many hardships for the nation, and whenever he was asked the reason, he used to say for the betterment of nation. Even when he went to Miraj, he asked Allah to lessen the burden of worship on the nation, because he knew that a time will come when the nation will feel burdened by prayer. So he asked Allah to reduce the number of daily prayers. Similarly, Imam Hussein thought, the nation is under so many burdens, he knew that people cannot even offer 5 times of prayer. So Imam Hussein thought that, why not give sacrifice so that my nation is not punished for not worshipping Allah as required? Let us think that, just as Imam Ali said that this nation has disgraced me so much that they have started comparing me with others, will not then Imam Hussein feel sorry that we have disgraced him to such an extent that we started taking him as a ransom for our sins, compensation for our wrongdoings? Such explanations have been originating in the past about many prophets by their nation. Thus, by this view, we say now that Imam has paid for our deeds. We are free to do whatever we like and there will be no checks on us. Now let us consider Ashra Mubshira, the revolution for 10. The revolution for 10, as per narrations in the book of Sunnis, is an event when Holy Prophet listed down names of 10 of his companions as those guaranteed to enter paradise. We do not agree or believe on this view, as Prophet did not give them the certificate and they declared it themselves and it's impossible for someone to be declared in this world as a blessed one. On the other hand, we ourselves say that every ordinary person amongst us is blessed and guaranteed for paradise because Imam gave ransom of our deeds. This is not right. If we consider ourselves certified for paradise, and we should consider the revelation for 10 too. That view is where people say, Imam did not do this, so why do you associate him with it? He was just a victim. That event was brought on him by others. Thus don't say that he was martyred. This too is a wrong belief. Intelligence is required at this point to understand all this. There were millions of Muslims at that time, but there were only 72 present in Karbala, and this difference prevails today also, and will also be present at the time of the reappearance of Imam. Thus the need of the hour is to understand with intellect, comprehension and perception. A believer has all these qualities and cannot be fooled. Imam Ali says in Nahjul Balagha, neither I have indulged myself ever into suspicion or troubles, nor made it possible for others to do so. We are the followers of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and we should not do anything wrong, nor create such circumstances for others that makes it easy for them to harm us. The tenth view is well known among Sunnis because they believe in four foremost caliphs. After them, few believe in Imam Hassan as the fifth one. Some consider Amir al-Sham the fifth one. Still some others say that Khilafat-e-Rashida was finished after the fourth one, then began the era of kingdom. The system of governance was changed according to them. In Shiati, the system of governance, whether it was during the Prophet's life or after that, in all the times, it has been the same and will remain the same. It is known as the system of Imamat wa Ummat, leader and the nation. The Sunnis believe that till the fourth caliph, things were all going well and the system was free from errors. But the fifth caliph came and distracted the system. He followed the old system, but gradually he brought changes in the system, and ultimately at the end, when he made his son his successor, his intentions became clear. Thus here Imam Hussein played his part to eradicate this fault and bring back the system of Imamat wa Ummat. The 11th point of view is that Bani Umayyah started the practice of general massacre of the Shias. This began in the region of Amir al-Sham, Muawiyah, and kept on increasing day by day. Imam alayhi salam warned Yazid at that time to stop this. There are letters of Imam delivered to Yazid in which the names of few of the martyrs are mentioned. Thus Imam did not tolerate this, and so he stood for revenge. In present-day terminology, it can be said that he organized a long procession from Medina to Karbala to show that what was being done was wrong. And in order to suppress the procession, as it was a threat that it could overthrow the government, they were surrounded in Karbala, and whatever barbarism could be done, they did not stop Hussein against them. Many were martyred and the rest captivated. Though this view is not comparatively well known, but still it is quoted by knowledgeable historians and philosophers. The 12th view is that Muawiyah used to hold lectures to condemn Imam Ali. Very well known and top class orators were used for this purpose. Imam Hussein thought that by this the name of the Prophet's family will vanish soon. This was to such an extent that when Hazrat Ali was struck on 19th Ramzan, people were astonished at the fact that he was in the mosque at that time. Because the personality of Ali alayhi salam presented to them had been distorted to such an extent that his presence in the mosque was a shock. Thus to prevent this and maintain his family dignity, Imam Hussein took this bold step. The 13th view tells that after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, people started going towards wrong directions. At the time of Imam Hussein, the direction of religion was totally new, and he got worried that the religion of Islam will finish soon. Thus, to keep the religion alive, he made this Qiyam. The 14th explanation was that when Imam Hussein saw that it is my legal duty, so he performed this act of Karbala, there were no other purpose behind it. The 15th view says that Imam did this for the accomplishment of his duty, for the accomplishment of proof, so that the coming generations can once again gain the same old authority in Mecca which Bani Hashim had in the beginning. Bani Umayyah wanted to take revenge. Thus, Karbala was just a revenge of Yazid from Hashimis, since his ancestors were killed in Badr. This is done by those who try to assassinate the religious aspect of Karbala and present it just as a dispute between two tribes. As an evidence to prove their view, they said that whenever Imam Ali fought, he fought against Bani Umayyah. He never fought against anyone else. This was just to direct the innocent minds. This 18th view is strange. Liked by non-Muslims, it says that Imam Hussein failed in interpreting the political situation accurately. In other words, it was a political blunder done by him. Thus, he was martyred. But whoever made this explanation is illiterate, because he does not know that Imam Hussein was aware of his martyrdom before starting his journey. The 19th explanation is that Imam Hussein saw that the Prophet showed his nation numerous ways of acquiring rewards, but they were all to be obtained through hardships, sufferings. So he adopted a way for them to gain reward easily. That is, I will be martyred and you are supposed to mourn on my death, so that you can be rewarded. Masumin have said that if one tear is shed on Hussein, then the hell will be forbidden on that eye. This saying has been interpreted wrong by the philosophers, and they made this view that only mourning is sufficient for acquiring rewards. The 20th view is that this Qiyam had numerous purposes. It is a collection, a comprehensive step containing tremendous motives, and all of them were acquired by him. In short, Imam centered his step on righteousness. His motive was to keep justice alive. Thus, all those explanations which are not around this motive can be eliminated. He also showed that righteousness has no limits. One should follow it to such an extent that he should not even care about his life. These are all the well-known explanations, but there are many more of them. This shows that how much Ashura has been talked about. To have an effect of Ashura, one should make a view about Ashura, so that we submerge in the sea of Karbala. We come out of this relaxed and luxurious life and enter the phase of restlessness, like Martyr Muzaffar Kirmani, whose life was an example of restlessness because he understood the true philosophy of the uprising of Imam.